Blog Talk Radio. Lord have mercy. I don't know what was happening tonight in the atmosphere, stratosphere, whatever, but I just couldn't get this. I couldn't get the studio warmed up, it seemed. I don't know what was happening, but hey, you're here, I'm here, and I believe at least one of my fabulous panels is here, unless they're out looking for a better show to be on. Which I would hate that because, well, it'd be fun for them, but bad for me. Anyway, good evening. I am your host, cruise director and spiritual advisor, Madam Perry, welcoming you to Madam Perry Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I'm talking about the last inauguration. And tonight is what's on your mind. What's on your mind? Call in, talk about it. I don't care if it's midterm results, runoffs, natural disasters. How to change your hair color, makeup, and wardrobe for winter. I don't care. I'm just glad that you're here. And I have my dear friend, Marilyn Opitz. Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, I'm here.
How you doing, sister? How you
doing? Good. I was on hold for a while. I was just posting on the link to Facebook saying, what's going on?
I don't,
but I'm
put
glad
something
you're
on Facebook.
Here. I'm glad you made it.
Gosh, me too. Well, I saw that you had been holding. When it finally came up, it said you'd been holding 13 minutes when it finally came up. So, oh, no. So I don't know what was wrong. That's why I put on Facebook. I don't know why it's slow, but don't judge unless you've tried to get a corgi on the wheel to get things going. And
exactly.
Let's see. Also joining us tonight. Well, I'm thrilled that you are here. This is Marilyn Opitz, the owner of Biba Girl Beauty, and and she's also an actress. And let's see, and also the owner of Bulldog Marketing and the last Southern aristocratic Southern Democrat, Alan Bradenton.
Hey, hello, good evening, Madam Perry.
I love that voice. So, see, Alan, you guys walk in a room and it's automatically fun. And hey, guess what else? All the way from Chicago, my friend, he's an animator and writer, and his name, I don't know what his name is, Peter G. You know how it is in music and rap and art. You have an alias. I never underestimate the value of a good alias. Peter G., come on in.
Hello. Yeah,
Happy.
Yeah, an alias. Yeah, you know how us rap artists need to watch because of the police. I tore the tag off a mattress. I'm a fugitive.
Polish rap artist?
Hey, you'd be surprised. They're cracking down on stuff lately.
Yeah, well, not around here. I'm just glad to get it working. Hey, so it's Tuesday night. This is what? November 13th, Tuesday night. Thank you all so much for your patience and getting the studio up tonight and for being here with me. Last week, Marilyn and Alan were both in here. Marilyn mostly, and then Alan came in. And you guys were so much fun. It was such a mood elevator for me. And that we had to do this all over again. And I'm so glad to have Peter G. in here. And anybody who's listening, just so you know, you can always call in and talk to us or message. If you know, people say, why do you say message? Well, some people are at a day job or something, or, you know, a job, and they can't necessarily call in, so they can message it in on Facebook. Send me a message to Jennifer Monette Perry, and I can read your question or comment on the air. But if you want to call in, it's 646-716-9922. So let's start off with Marilyn. Marilyn, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm just kind of chilling out tonight, and the D.C. area just got the news that Amazon had picked, which it was supposed to come to our side of the Potomac, which would have been the Maryland side, but it chose the Virginia side. the other side of the D.C. area. So it's going to be in Crystal City. But Amazon is still coming, so that's going to be pretty exciting.
The Virginia side.
So, yeah. So, and they've already renamed the whole area, the Crystal City, Pentagon City, and what was that other area? I guess, was that Alexandria? Some other, you know, they just claimed it, and they renamed it already. So it's going to be, they were saying how it's going to drive home prices up. I'm like, oh, it can't get any more expensive than they already are, but I'm sure it will go sky high. So it's kind of interesting. I'm glad we bought when we did.
I bet you are.
But
all right.
First thing I said, I'm going to start handing out my card, get my Blitz cards and start going, hang out at that metro station, start handing out cards and saying, who needs the makeup done?
Seriously.
So what kind of delivery time are you going to get with Prime now?
You know, I don't know. We've got it. It's pretty good, you know. It's good, but if they move close, it's gonna be even better, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had to send something to myself to establish copyright at the post office, and to be cute, I decided to send it by priority mail. So I just handed it to the person at the counter. They handed it right back to me, and I'm like, yeah, if it was any faster, it would have actually gone back in time. Mom, I'm like, why did I send this up? Oh, I'm sending it up tomorrow, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, by the way, Meryl, I'm telling you here, I don't think you were at this, Alan, but you said you like my Auntie Mame pictures. Your favorite movie is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I
Roz and Russell, the only, Roz Russell's the only Auntie Mame. And about 6 years ago, I did in Asheville, North Carolina, I did an Ignite, which is kind of like, I guess, like a version of TED. I did an Ignite speech on life lessons learned from Auntie Mame. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
Do you have a link to that? Do you have is there a video or a link to? Oh, I would love that. If you could send that to me, message me that.
Okay, I will. I'll put it out there on Facebook. I mean, I only got one vote there because I was the only person that didn't have any friends or coworkers in the audience, so I didn't get, somebody gave me one vote. While they put like a little sticker on the wall, I had one little sympathy, you know. Yeah. So it's all right. It's all right. My husband couldn't even get in, and his boss, because it was sold out. So that's what. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on. Alan, we're going to get the subject out of the way first. Alan, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm excited about the stuff that's going on with the election still. I think it's interesting that, there's, this morning we all woke up to a Democratic senator from Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Interested in watching what's going on in Florida and, of course, the runoff coming up in Mississippi. Georgia, governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if, and this is a big if, Nelson comes out in Florida and the Democrat wins in Mississippi, then the Senate's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's some good news.
I mean, I think in just watching this week and the president on there and saying, you know, let's not recount. I've been, you know, messing in politics for the better part of 25 years. And anytime you're against recounts or against votes being counted, it's bad news for whatever side you're on. So I just think that's going to be really interesting to watch. You know, we kind of got into the politics last week at the end. And, just seeing how things shake out there.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. And we got a lot to talk about that tonight as well. And let's see, move down. And then my friend Peter G. Peter, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just saved a bunch of money on Christmas gifts by discussing politics on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah, it's
hysterical.
You gotta keep going.
And my husband chimed in. He said you can always give people coal.
Or switches. Oh, no. That could be fun, too.
Oh, they're getting lumps of something else. They're getting lumps of something else. They're not getting lumps of coal. It's something a little further down the line.
Politics. Oh my God,
you know,
that's hysterical.
Peter, and I think we need to take our show on the road to Maryland, where our friend Marilyn is, and and by the way, I don't know, Alan. As long as you've known me, Alan, and Alan and I have done stand up and a little comedy stuff, but I've been saying for a long time, I want a tour bus to take the show on the road with different artists and so forth, and whatever area we travel to can hop on and off and entertain. But I think we ought to take the show on the road. So anybody listening or anybody you guys know that has some kind of a tour, I'd like something fancy like the Judds had, but, you know, still, just
like
enough of a tour bus. Yeah. Like
Dallas the section and all that.
Even a week, yeah. If we could get a tour bus that was for the Madame Perry Salon show, and we could just tour the country and entertain, and, you know, I think if we could do that, and if we could travel the country with everything going on today, and tell me, guys, especially Alan, I want to know how you feel about this. If we could just get our road crew together, travel, it wouldn't be the same people. Some people can't take maybe a week or a weekend off to the show. We could just travel the country. If we could bring hope to people who are depressed, if we could bring, you know, a smile or a laugh to, you know,
yeah,
somebody that's tired, somebody that's given up hope, and if we could at least pick up maybe $5,000 a night doing it. Now, I don't know how. Then that would be, I think that would be a valuable thing to do.
Are you sure you want someone? Are you sure you want?
I absolutely agree.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Maybe we could try to book something at Harrah's over in Cherokee.
Oh, that's right.
I
say, let's go.
Is that a casino?
Yes. It's a casino.
Well, lose
North
your
Carolina.
Money or come listen to us. I mean, I think the choice is clear.
That'd be worth driving down to North Carolina for that.
Years ago, I was going to Las Vegas, and one of my great uncles, before I left, said, "Boy, remember one thing. Winners don't pay the light bill."
Oh, yeah.
I've always thought that was one of Uncle Harold's best pieces of advice.
I used to work at a riverboat gambling casino. Nothing will destroy your faith in humanity like working at a casino. You know, at the time here in Illinois, it was legislated that the riverboats had to actually go out on the water. They couldn't just say, yeah, you're gambling and stuff like that. They had to give it some kind of a veneer in order to make it palatable. So you had – the doors would open. There would be a half hour for anybody who was on the boat to get off and then a half hour to let people on. So a one-hour window. Person came on, so half hour before the boat took off on its trip. She bought a $500 can of $1 tokens, sat at the machine across from me, bought another one. She did not win a single time, bought another $500 can, bought another one, $1,500, wrote out the maximum number of checks, maxed out every credit card, took out markers, and I still remember her scrounging through her purse looking for a nickel that would give her the one more dollar token that she just knew was going to win her all her money back.
All this happened
before the boat left the dock. In less than a half hour, she destroyed her financial future.
Oh, my God.
And all I could think was... It's things like that that make me glad I don't gamble. That's part of the reason that when the whole Powerball lottery was going on, and I'm laughing at everybody. You know, I'm like, when they sell enough tickets that the Powerball lottery is over $1 billion and they still don't have one winner out of all those tickets, if you don't need any more proof that the lottery is a legalized ripoff, then I don't know what to tell you.
I remember years ago I was driving through Florida in the middle of the night, heading back to South Carolina, and it was near Christmas, and I was in college, I think, and I stopped and I bought like 20 lottery tickets for siblings and family. I said, yeah, I'll give them all a Florida lottery ticket because South Carolina and North Carolina, all, they hadn't come into any of that yet. And there was a nice lady working at this convenience store in Jupiter, Florida at like 2 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. And you could smoke inside. She kind of had the Camel 240 hanging out of her mouth. It was about 8 inches long. And I ordered 20 lottery tickets, and she said, well, all right. And I said, do you play? And she said, no, darling, not when it's like this. It's only about $3 million. I wait till it gets up to 10 or 15 million. And I thought, $2 million wouldn't change your life. Really?
Yeah, it's when they started the lottery here in Illinois, they had the daily game, which was three numbers, and then the new pick four, which was four numbers, and then they came up with the lotto. And I have an aunt who she was obsessed that she was certain there was some sort of pattern that could be found. She recorded every last winning number for the lotto, the pick three, and the pick four for 3 years. And my dad, who's great at math and stuff like that, you know, he came over one night. You know, we all, you know, it was a family gathering. So it's my aunt, my uncle, one of my other uncles, and my dad with his scientific graphing calculator and stuff like that. And they're going over these numbers like the Normandy invasion. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, does the concept of random numbers mean anything to you? Are you even paying attention here? They were putting up charts. They were tracking how often numbers come off. And, oh, this one looks like it's due. And I'm like, guys, it's random. You're never going to guess it.
Normandy invasion. Oh, my God. That is one of the best analogies.
That's what it was. They had papers everywhere. They had charts. They had notes. They were talking back and forth like they were strategizing. All this over a bunch of random ping pong balls.
Yeah, but it was equal would be financial freedom, or at least so you think. You know.
I can understand. Well, I mean, I can understand it, but that's part of the reason that the concept of the lottery offends me on a fundamental level, because the lottery preys on people for whom either they're so far in debt they'll never get out, or the system is so stacked against them, you know, they'll never get a promotion or anything like that, and they see this as their only chance to get ahead of the game. You know, these aren't people that are playing just for fun, like people who play blackjack and stuff like that. These are people who are desperate for a better future. And, it's exploitation. And that's the reason why the lottery offends me, because it's like, no, you're preying on people. You're preying on people who are desperate. This is wrong.
Somebody did win it. Somebody did win it, like, I think it was like a week after it hit the max. I think somebody did win it. So the fact when someone does win it or a bunch of people win it, and there's that hope, you know, there's that hope. And,
right.
And I'll never, you know, there's that, and there are, like, they've done shows on people who have won and how their lives have improved and how their lives have gone downhill for various reasons. Like, maybe they lent too much to family, or everybody came out of the woodwork, or various things happened. And they weren't good money managers to begin with, or, you know, they took on too much or whatever. But, you know, the thing is that when you hear that people win, you know how that money could change your life. Now, some people are in a situation where they're doing so well that if they won, they'd do better. But there's many people who, you know, no matter what's happening, the decks are stacked against them. But sometimes things happen to regular people, especially with us in the past. I'd say, well, now we've been a slow improvement since the recession. But I'm still not back to where I want to be pre-2009. So I'd say around 2011, 2012, I bought a lot of lotto tickets, even though everybody told me, oh, that's not the smartest thing. There was still that hope of saying, you know, I just want to get back, just feel like I'm doing something, you know. And, and you know, of course, other things, better things came along for me to invest my time and my money. But you know, when you're really going down, it's sometimes that hope, you know, just even if $1 or $2, sometimes it helps. Now, that woman, you know, 2,000, however much on that boat, you know, that's called an addiction. You know, that's way over where she's, you know, going out of hand. But, you know, sometimes, you know, $2 to $5 at the end of a week, you know, I might hit it, you know.
Well, Roseanne won the lottery, and look what happened to her.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, to my mind, most of the people who play the lottery, I file them under the same category that I file people that follow the prosperity gospel. You see people like Joel Osteen and stuff like that. Let me explain, because this takes a second to lay out. You got people like Joel Osteen that say, you know, that basically God makes deals. You know, you praise and stuff like that, and you get money and stuff like that. Most people that follow prosperity gospel, they aren't expecting God to be a money changer. They just want some reassurance that somehow these good things that they're doing will somehow come back to them. So it's not that they're hoping for riches or anything like that. They're just hoping that their effort counts for something. And that's kind of what I put the lottery players in, because it's like they're hoping that, you know, they've done this for so long. Come on, my number has to come up.
Yeah.
So I view them with sympathy, a lot of sympathy.
Yeah. Now, the saddest thing is
you sound like a Democratic voter from the Deep South.
Technically, my alignment is South Park Republican. I'm not kidding. I'm a huge fan of Trey Parker Matt Stone. I have their student film from when they were at the University of Colorado. Basically, most of the stuff they talk about on South Park are things I've already thought. I mean, literally, I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's like they're living next door to me as they write this. So, Basically, I'm what they call South Park Republican. You know, it's like, yes, I support equal rights and everything like that, but I also support, you know, fiscal responsibility. It's an odd mix. You know, I don't really pigeonhole into anything. The first time I ever got punished by my family – and this is because I was always trying to be a good kid and stuff like that. The first time I ever got punished was when I turned 18. And it was going to be the first election that I could vote in. And it was the 92 election. It was Bush versus Bill Clinton. And shortly before the election went down, Bush had gone to a farm show. And he was fascinated by the supermarket barcode scanner. He had never seen one of these things before. This thing that everybody has had to deal with, he had never known about. And I'm talking with my dad, and I said, well, I don't think I could vote for Bush because I don't think he understands regular people. And I explained about the supermarket barcode scanner. He says, well, you got a pay raise, right? I said, what do you mean? He says, you deliver pizza, right? Yeah. Well, they just increased the minimum wage, right? I said, yeah. He says, well, you just got a pay raise thanks to a Republican president. And before I could stop myself, I said, yeah, in a Democratic Congress. And he did not talk to me for 3 days. So right from the beginning, I've always had this innate contradictory stretch to my mind. I mean, the last U.S. president that I truly admired was Harry S. Truman. I have had problems with all of them since.
Well, that was about it, Meyer.
Well, it drives my dad nuts because he keeps thinking that maybe I can bring Pete over to the Republican side, and then he sees me taking cheap shots at them, but then I'll take cheap shots at the Democrats too. And he's like, and it's like, here's the thing, Dad. I'm not a single issue voter. I do not go by party lines. I go by what makes sense to me. My dad is very much about one party. You just check all the boxes, and there you go. And it doesn't matter if they do it.
Not only anybody should be like that.
I've given up discussing politics. My dad did three tours of duty in Vietnam in the Navy. And he didn't vote for Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton was a draft dodger. He didn't vote for John Kerry because Kerry only didn't see real combat like he did. Meanwhile, Trump gets 4 student deferments and 1 medical deferment for bone spurs. And my dad, I know I'm not voting for a Boy Scout. I'm like, if it was so bad for those other two people, why is it not so bad for this guy? It's because he's on your side. It has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with your self-righteousness.
Absolutely.
It had nothing to do with him, where he served or that he didn't serve. Yeah. A lot of people, just somehow he got a pass over all that. Yep.
He gets a pass on everything. There's a guy who is actually saying that Donald Trump is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't recall Jesus Christ, you know, having affairs with porn stars and paying them off, getting divorced.
3 different
wives.
said yesterday that the military votes that were mailed in ought not be counted in Florida.
Yeah, a day after Veterans Day.
Guy said that on the absurd Veterans Day.
Yeah, this from a guy who wouldn't go out in the rain to honor troops and has yet to make one overseas stop. I know I'm rambling, but like I said, my dad did 3 tours in Vietnam. I saw how he was treated when he got home. So people who are disrespectful to our troops really strikes a nerve with me. And this
my dad was 3 terms Vietnam and was in the Marine Corps for 27 years.
Yeah, and
I completely get it.
Yeah, here's a guy who he insults Gold Star families. He says McCain's no big deal because he prefers people who didn't get killed. He has yet to make one. He spends all his time golfing. He has yet to make one overseas trip to visit our troops. You know, even Bill Clinton. I know that the troops hated Bill Clinton because they thought he was a hippie and a draft dodger, but he still at least went overseas and visited the troops.
Exactly.
And
what did Trump do? Every day until that scandal with Lewinsky came out, every day was not an embarrassment like it has been in the past 2 years. Every day is an embarrassment.
Every day.
As far as I'm concerned.
Hey, guys, you're right. Hey, all right, hold on just a second. I want to make sure people know that you're listening to us live tonight here on Madam Perry Salon. I'm here with Alan Brathington, Marilyn Opitz, and Peter G. And we've got a few other topics that I want to talk about. Yeah. Hold on. we're going to have some topics that I want to talk about in just 1 second. But first, I want you to listen. I have a message for you.
So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who's going to coach this team. They don't got no talent on it. And I don't really feel like talking
about
truth. I don't feel like talking about the Knicks right now.
You want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madam Perry Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostar, all the comedians.
What about people don't have rings?
Here we go.
I got
real fun
rings.
But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible, is it, Marilyn? It's not terrible.
You're coming with safe phrase there.
This is something funny. My husband Patrick always tells jokes, and this he's got a coworker that always says he's terrible. So as soon as he said that, he was, I laughed. He's like, "You're terrible."
Well, I'm not terrible. Okay, here's the subject. I'm going to read something off of. Wait just a minute. Hang on one second. All right, I got a dog that has something to drink. He just brought me a bowl. If you heard that. That sound he just brought a metal bowl in here. So while I go get his bowl, I'm going to read something to you. Well, not while, but before. I'm going to read a little something to you. Tell me what you think about it. This was something from the Associated Press by Bill Weiser from the Associated Press. This Texas Mulls curriculum that cuts Helen Keller but keeps Moses. The Texas Board of Education is discussing changes to the history curriculum that could scrap lessons featuring Hillary Clinton, Helen Keller, and Barry Goldwater, but keep instruction about how Moses influenced the nation's founding fathers and the ways states' rights helped cause the Civil War. The Republican-controlled board, surprise, heard Tuesday from students, teachers, activists, and academic experts who are defending or decrying proposed edits meant to streamline academic standards for history. And it says, then going on, Texas has about 5.4 million students, more than any state but California. Though teaching board-approved lessons isn't always mandatory, board-sanctioned curriculum can affect what's published in textbooks. Texas is a large enough market to where the state's academic standards sometimes influence what's published in materials used elsewhere. So while I go get this bowl of water filled up, Alan, would you start? You start on this one and go first.
Well, yeah, and I've got my parents were coming through town a month or 6 weeks ago. Didn't know it. Yeah, it's one of those that your cell phone rings at 10 in the morning. We're in Asheville. Do you want to meet for lunch or something? I'm like, what are y'all doing? Oh, we're going on the tour of the Ark. And I said, huh? No. We've got a group. And my parents are great. Don't misunderstand me. They and a bunch of other Trump people were on a bus tour to go see the Museum of the Ark.
The Creation Museum.
And I just,
yeah.
The Creation Museum. And I said, wait. And I had heard like a blip about it, but I looked it up and I was like, really? And yeah, there's like busloads
of
people.
Think of all the homeless shelters that money could have gone towards.
Yeah, I mean, this thing was like $300 million. And they couldn't believe that people weren't supporting it.
And
it just dumbfounded me.
It's not the real Ark. It's a facsimile. It's a fake Ark.
It's like going to Graceland and seeing new Cadillacs. I mean, it just doesn't the same. But
it's not even that. The Ark was actually more shaped like a box than it was a boat. That was the whole.
That was the whole reason
it was called an Ark. It was an archive.
You have to understand, it's the fact that people want to suspend that belief that they're actually looking at the even if it's a fake Ark, they can go and go, wow, that's how big the Ark actually is, you know? Like a fake Smithsonian.
I have the same reaction when I see the Batmobile at Six Flags.
I think if they took $2 out of every 50 they're collecting for tickets and just paid off terrorists, they go away. I mean, the way these folks are going in here. Pay the guys off, they'll retire, they'll go somewhere warm, it'll be quiet after that.
For how much we spent on the Vietnam War.
What did Helen Keller do that was so controversial? Helen Keller.
I can't. Man, I made the worst joke ever. I can't see anything that she did wrong.
You're only thinking of the miracle worker. Helen Keller, after she learned to communicate, she became an outspoken socialist writer. So I think that's what they're objecting to. It's just that her, look up her writing after she actually learned how to talk and type. And she was a real political radical.
She wasn't radical. She was ahead of her time. She was saying radical stuff like women ought to be able to vote.
I agree completely. I'm just saying that I think that's the problem the guy in Texas has. Is it's like, what's with these women doing this stuff? Let's George Orwell her out of the history books.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, though? The thing is about what I don't understand is when they try to do that is they don't understand that the world has progressed. When I was a very, very little girl, I could remember learning about people who were burning Beatles albums and in like small town USA, in the Bible Belt, because John Lennon made a joke you know, about, wow,
oh,
the Beatles are bigger than, you know. And I and the thing is, at that time, I can remember my father saying, well, those are people who were to take it so literally that they can't see that it's a joke. They don't understand irony. They don't understand sarcasm. They'd rather ruin music for their kids or anyone else. They'd rather burn a book or an album than expand their minds. It shows me that this, what is it, 60 years now? It's almost 70 years since that happened. That we have enough people in this country that are willing to still be in that same place. That same place in their mind of hate and saying that, oh, because somebody made a joke, that they're willing to, or somebody thinks something different, or somebody is saying that maybe all people should be equal, that we should all be like, let's rewrite it all out, you know? Let's go back to medieval times and say the earth is flat. I mean, what else are they going to come up with?
They are saying that. Marilyn, I do have to rebut one thing that you said there. I do have to correct you on something. Where you said it could have been, you know, 70 years ago. That happened with the Beatles, with John Lennon, in my lifetime. Okay, in my lifetime.
In my
lifetime. It was
20
years ago. It was not 70. It was 20.
Well,
it might have been 15.
No, it was.
John Lennon's been dead 30. No,
oh,
John Lennon. You want to feel old? John Lennon's been dead 28 years. No, 38
he's
years.
He's been dead since 1981.
No,
I remember. Or 1980.
Okay,
December
80. Brown asked him.
Now, if you want to feel old, I grew up with Winona Ryder. I'm about the same age as her. And seeing her play
Fox
Mom is like, oh, God, I'm old.
I worked with her last week.
I'm 53, so I know I was a child. It was in the late 60s at some point. The Beatles broke up in 1970, so it had to be before then because he was saying they were bigger than Jesus Christ. So,
all right.
And then John Lennon was shot
later.
He was shot in 1980 when right after the album came out.
Double Fantasy, it was.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, when he was shot by Mark David Chapman, I used to always say, of course, now that I used to always have a saying my friends heard often, that there were only two white men who had no chance in hell of ever getting out of prison. And those were Charles Manson and Mark David Chapman, because one killed a beautiful white woman, one killed John Lennon. And I always said those were the only two white men that had no chance in hell of ever seeing freedom again. But and then Manson died. But I remember seeing just part of a movie about John Lennon. I think it was Judah Friedlander, somebody played Mark David Chapman. And he's in there talking, he's reading, imagine there's no heaven, that's easy for you, motherfucker, because you have everything. And I thought, okay, right away, I didn't know Mark David Chapman, but the rest of my family did, because he and my brothers were like in the same big scout troop, and I remember I probably saw him over in the rec center when there'd be some big family scout thing.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He's from the neighborhood. And I can tell you right now, if he spoke in that was not a Gresham Park, Southeast Atlanta accent. If he spoke like a riverboat gambler, the way Judah Friedlander played him, he would have never lived long enough to kill anybody, okay? So I'm just saying, that's just my way of saying, segueing into, I hate Southern accents out of Hollywood. And
indeed.
And maybe get to the subject.
Well, you know, people don't realize this, but John Hinckley Jr., the one who shot Reagan, he's released on the weekends. He's able to go free and walk freely every weekend.
Well,
and
but it was interesting. They didn't do that until Nancy Reagan was dead.
Yes, that is true.
Are you sure they let him out?
She would have found him.
Yeah,
she would have found him.
That's right. No, that's right. Now, Nancy Reagan, she would have found us.
She would have got her a bony asshole and found him, called her astrologer.
Yeah. She'd have known the right time to strike.
He scared me as much as John Hinckley Jr.
I remember I was in about the third grade, and I came home and flipped on the TV, and Reagan had been shot.
And
I was living with my grandmother at the time, so I called my grandmother, and I said, "The president's been shot." And she said, "Oh, darling, don't you remember when Kennedy was shot?" And I said, "No, that was about 10, 12 years before I was born." And she went, "Oh, well, of course."
Yeah,
but it's funny how those things come together.
Yeah.
So how was the play, Mr. Lincoln?
Yeah. Other than that, how was the play? How was the theater, Mrs. Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, my friend.
But it's very scary to know that he's out and walking among people in the D.C. area, you know. And I don't know. I saw that movie about Mark David Chapman, and, you know, he's kind of lost. The one with Jared Leto played him, and that was very intense.
Oh, yeah, but is he really the threat we need to worry about? I mean, look at. There was a story a few years ago that they found that one out of nine doctors was operating with phony credentials. And my first thought was, so who's getting the better care, the one or the eight? And
But isn't that like 86% of all statistics were just made up?
Mm-hmm. Well, the point that I'm trying to make is that, I mean, we're living in an era where Nazis are openly marching the street. You have the Proud Boy movement that's raising money. You have people saying that the Antifa are a great thing, when I've seen the rise of the Antifa. They're just as bad as the Nazis. They're just on the opposite side of the ideological spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, the world is turning into a war zone. So it's like, do I really care about John Hinckley Jr.? No, I care about these people that are going to potentially blow up my house. Just because, you know, one side, either because I'm Polish, so you're not white, and the other side because, you don't believe in our ideals enough, so we're going to kill you because you're not on our side.
I say no, I don't say. But, I mean, what's Hinckley going to do on the weekends? He going to take another shot at the president? Is he going to, I mean, you know, I imagine the man can't hardly go to the movies. So.
Now, who is the guy who... The subway vigilante. What was his name?
Bernard Getz.
Yeah, thank you.
Jesus, I don't know how I knew that, but.
But it's another reason why I love you, Al.
Yeah, it's like, he's out and he's wandering around New York City, and everyone's like, huh? Yeah, so what? I got tougher people than I got tougher cockroaches than you, buddy.
Well, I know,
he was dressing up in some weird costume in New York parade. The Bernard Getz was wearing, like, all these weird costumes, and he was, like, some sort of weird egomaniac or something. I don't know, that he was doing some weird thing.
Well, I mean, you know, that would be a great scene from, like, a Home Alone 12. He gets on the New York subway and sits down, and Bernard Getz is next to him. I mean, just in a huge cameo.
Yeah, that's what they need to do to revive Macaulay Culkin's career at this point. Show him the way he is now, post addiction and all that, and his Home Alone.
And post addiction, post Michael Jackson.
Man, don't be hating on Macaulay. Poor fella never had a chance.
No, he did. Not with his parents nagging him and pressuring him to be their cash cow.
He's going to be 45, and people are going to be like, "Make the face." I don't. I knew, Madam Perry, you follow me on
That's
Facebook,
right.
but back
the
back the summer, I went with some friends to New Jersey, and a dear friend of mine and his wife, his mother passed away, and they needed help cleaning out the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to bring everybody down on Facebook. So I wrote it up as though I was doing behind
Mission
enemy lines work.
Oh. Oh.
So that was on a reconnaissance mission just in case.
Well, guys,
and
you'll
have to look
time.
It up because there's this funny picture by Fred George. We stopped at a Union Memorial, and you may guess from this accent that I am not from New Jersey. And I did the Home Alone face.
You sound perfectly normal to me.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, who are you talking to?
Hey,
what kind of sick joke
to?
You playing?
Hey, you
kind of sick
hey
joke
who
you
talking
playing?
To?
Hey, what's the matter for you?
So I did the Home Alone face in front of the Union Memorial.
Oh, my God.
While wearing a T-shirt that said, "If lost, please return to the South." And so we went to a farmer's market and I took pictures. It's like I'm moving amongst the people. They seem friendly enough. Although none of them have any consonants in their, none of them have any vowels in their names. And, you know, I'm trying not to speak.
God.
And in the hotel bar, someone thought maybe I was British, but it's a hilarious bit of post. Just about five of, day two. Yeah, I've gotten close enough to the city. I must return to the motherland and file a report. And,
oh my God!
Yeah, they have
now.
Peaches
God.
Here. Who ever heard of New Jersey peaches? I'm buying a few so we can be scientifically researched.
That's like when I go to the store and get orange juice, grown with Florida oranges. It's like, congratulations, you found oranges in one of the two places in the nation where they grow oranges. You want to press me? Yeah. Show me an orange you found in Detroit.
Well, that's just because Jimmy Hoffa bought them all.
Well, guys, our time is up here, and if you've been listening live or if you're listening to a replay later, remember, don't forget, please subscribe to Madam Perry Salon on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and we're also on lots of other too, Podcast FM, Last FM, all kinds of things, Blueberry, that are making money off of me that I'll never see, but if you go to Apple iTunes or Stitcher or something, if you would, I know people are busy, but if you would on one of those, please either click the follow button to follow on Blog Talk Radio, or if you go to Apple iTunes or Stitcher to Madam Perry Salon page, would you please, if you have a moment, just take a second to leave a review. Just hasn't got to be long or fancy. Just a little review so that people who pass through might think, hey, maybe I should listen to that. And don't forget to get my book, Sell Your Books Today. Hey, if you're an author, people can't buy your books until they know about them. Let's get them out of your garage and into the checkout line. Sell Your Books Today. And if you want to listen to these people again, my friend, animator Peter G., Bulldog Marketing owner and last aristocratic Southern Democrat, Alan Brassington, and the beautiful and talented, and I do mean drop-dead gorgeous, Marilyn Opus, owner of Biba Girl Beauty, and an actress. Leave a message here. You can leave a message on Facebook or here on Blog Talk Radio to say how much you enjoyed them, too. And, you know, this is 2 weeks in a row we've had a talk, and I think maybe I should just keep up one night a week, maybe make it talk show Tuesdays, where people can call in, people like you guys or whoever, and we'll just talk about what's going on. What do you say, guys? Do you think we should keep this up as a regular thing and whoever can
call
in?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
We can definitely
all
do
right.
that.
Because I think this really energized me last week. Somebody, you know, I need a new logo for the show, too. Will there be T-shirts? There could be T-shirts. There might even be socks and underwear if you guys do good enough. So, T-shirt.
Yeah, why don't you treat your butt cheeks? Because they deserve it.
Every time my husband gets a T-shirt from some kind of corporate thing going on for some other company, he would always tell people, "Thanks, this is nice, but my wife wants to know why can't you? Can I get some, you know, socks and underwear too?" And then last year when we were in Amsterdam for the big trade show, IBC Broadcast Communications Trade Show, there was one company giving out socks, and they were actually made in North Carolina, but they wanted us to finally get some socks. Now, hey, Alan, you're the marketing man. Do you think I should have some Madam Perry Salon and underwear line? I need something for a revenue stream. Marilyn's got makeup.
I think. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a lingerie line, but I think a socks line for men and women. And say, cover yourself in Madame Perry.
All right.
I'm staying out of this one. Because when you start talking about underwear, okay, so what do you do for the women who need a little extra support, if you know what I'm saying? This could get to a very...
They all do. You must tell them. All women need extra support. Tell them they're pretty and that they're doing a great job.
There's nothing I can say without signing my own death warrant, so I'm staying out of it.
Well, the people of South Carolina, thank you. As we say down here, the word of the day, the word of the day is legs, so let's spread the word.
Vaccine. Mother Goose.